This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Battle of 2021, Part 2, was delivered on January 31st, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Opportunity that you give us, Lord God. And we thank you for the leadership that you've installed here in this church, Lord. May you guide them and direct them, Lord God, for your will and how to use your finances in the forwarding of your kingdom. We give you all praise, honor, and glory, because it's due you and you alone. In Jesus' holy, mighty name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Nice shirt.
Hey, happy seal.
Hey. Yeah, I went to the same seal. Good morning, family. That's your coffee. Yes? So we're going to continue from last week. You know, last week we talked about the battle. You know, we're in a battle. We're in a serious battle. And the thing is, it's not a vacation. It's actually war. And it's actually getting deployed. And we talked about we battle against spirits, not against you and I, but against spirits that we cannot see. And we ended with the list of spiritual weapons that the Bible gives us to use. And so I wanted to go over those weapons so that you and I, we know what those weapons are and we know how to use them. Because if we don't know and learn how to use them, it's like, what good is it? It's like when I go fishing, my weapon is my fishing pole and my hook. And if I don't know how to use it, I don't know how to pull the line through the guys, I don't know how to cast it, I don't know how to tie a hook, then that weapon would render it, it's just going to be like a stick with a spinning thing on top that won't do no good. So we've got to learn how to use it. And 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." So the weapons that God has provided for us, and the first one is His Word. The Bible is Word. So how many of you bring your Word to church? Yes. And I encourage you to bring your Word to church, not only on Sundays, but take it with you wherever you go. Some of you, you may have it on your, how many of you do electronic? A lot of people. So when you like this, I'm understanding you're not texting somebody, right? You're looking at your Word, right? Or you're texting them, hey, tune in, because this is a good message. All right, so yeah. Before, back in the day, we would think, like, hey, you just have your phone. But now we know you could be in your Bible. So His Word, Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of and salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword listed here in Ephesians, which is the Word of God, the only offensive weapon listed. How do we use this weapon in spiritual warfare? Well, the honest truth is, you know, if you don't know the Word, it's only offensive weapon, then might not do you any good. If you don't know what it says in any given situation, then you might not know what to do or how to do it, or because you don't know the Word. That's why I encourage you, open it up. And that's why we have life groups. Life groups, we read and we write and we share. Next week, we're going to be talking about devotion. So next week, please bring your Bible. Because, you know, if you're in the heat of battle, if you're in a situation pressed on every side, it's hard to stop and find out what God's Word would say in any given situation. If the devil tells you something that's a lie, might not know it's a lie unless you know what God's Word says. You know, a lot of times when a husband and a wife, they're fighting and they see me, they come and they say, "We need help. We need help. We're always fighting." I say, "Well, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say?" And if they don't know what it says, then really they have no weapons against the enemy. Then I tell them, do what the Bible says. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you what love does and what love doesn't do. But if we don't know what 1 Corinthians 13 says, then we would not know what love does or what love doesn't do. How many of you know what love does? Love is... Oh, you guys know the first one, right? Love does not act... Yes. Does not seek it. Does not take into account it. Yeah, see? If you know that, and you and your spouse is fighting, you think, oh, wait a minute. I cannot dig up the past. Remember when you did this? Last month. Honey, when you left the toilet seat up, and then I went, and I was telling. Remember that? Oh, you know. You're outside in the car. Beep, beep, hurry up, man. Told you we were leaving at 8:30. It's 8:45. Love is? Yeah. How many of you beep your heart at your wife? Like, hurry up. You've been up 2 hours. You had 2 hours to get ready, and us guys, we can get up 10 minutes out the door. They get mad. But love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Right? So, we need to understand, learn, and practice His word, because it's the sword. It will tear down strongholds. It will do a lot of things. Everything we need to do battle with the devil to be victorious is found right here in God's word. It's at your fingertips. Some of you, it's right here. And if you don't open it and read it and understand it and apply it, you'll never be able to use it effectively. Like I said, it'd be having a loaded gun in battle, but you're swinging it around like a baseball bat. And you're only going to hit people that's 2 or 3 feet in front of you. But if you know how to use it properly, you know, you can do some damage. So His word, one of the weapons that we got, that God provides us with to do battle. Get in your word. Get into it. Deposit the scriptures you need in your heart. So when you do battle, you know. And when the devil lies to you, you can tell, no. This is what the word of God says. Get away. Beat it. Flee. And so number two is prayer. Prayer is such an important part of being a Christian. I like Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted. All things for which you pray and ask, believe, peace, health. You know, what you ask, you got to believe. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The power that comes from prayer does not depend on how long you were in the church, your position in the church, whether you're an evangelist or you're a regular member. It doesn't matter which position we are praying in, whether we can be on our knees with our hands in the air, we could be sitting down on a seat, we could be kneeling down, we could be lying down. The fact is, the power of prayer, the power of prayer is just us talking to God in a humble way. The power of prayer is not just the result of one person praying, but even many people can be praying. All can be one person. But even a brand new convert can pray and destroy the yokes of the enemy by praying. The power of prayer does not come from the use of artifacts, icons, candles, beads. Some denominations use those things. I think what God requires of you and I is that our motive be pure. We are persistent. We are humble in coming to Him, acknowledging that He is God and that He can do all things. You know, sometimes prayer is our last resort, when prayer should be our first response. Sometimes we wait and we wait and we wait, and then we say, oh, I should pray. But yeah, hello. How many of you think, well, I should pray first before? You know, when I come up here and then everything goes wrong, I say, oh, I should have prayed, yeah? Done that. So that's why I start praying Saturday night. Thank God, I need you, because I cannot do this by myself. Prayer should always be our first response. Even if you're doing something super simple, like even making a cup of coffee, pray. You know how to make rice? Yeah. I've done it 1,000 times. Well, do it. Pray. You know how to change the oil in your car? Yeah, done it 1,000 times. Still yet, pray. You know how to put a screw in the wall? Yes, I do. Done it 1,000 times, and I got the pukas on my finger to show you. But still, pray. 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 Yeah, keep on praying. No matter what. So prayer, you know, prayer can break down strongholds. Prayer can do a lot of things. But if we don't, then we miss out on that weapon that God has provided us. You know, when you're going, you know, like when difficult stuff happens, oh, we're quick to pray. When I gotta go into a difficult situation, quick to pray. Easy stuff, not so much, but we gotta do it all the time. Driving up to the hospital, praying all the way. Coming home, praying all the way. The next one, the name of Jesus. Powerful name. Acts 16:18. She continued doing this for many days. This is that spirit lady who was telling all kinds, oh, these guys are from God. And Paul was just getting so irritated at this lady. And so Paul was greatly annoyed. And he turned and said to the spirit, I command you, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And it came up that very moment. Yeah. So that spirit of divination came out of her. And then this lady's master said, oh man, there's all profits gone now because we can't, our fortune telling business is gone now. So there was mad, so they got thrown in jail. See, we command demons by the name of Jesus. In Acts 3:6, but Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. We get healed in the name of Jesus. In John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name, and this is Jesus talking, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And when Jesus says, if we ask for anything, we must remember that our asking must be in His name, that is according to God's character and His will. How many of you, when you first became a Christian, asked for $1 million? Yeah, we have a few honest people out there. Yeah, and then after you matured, and you say, no, I don't think I need $1 million, but I want so-and-so saved. I want so-and-so healed. You know, your prayers change. God will not grant our request contrary to His nature or His will, and we cannot use His name as a magic formula to fill our selfish desires. When that guy comes tearing past you at 80 miles an hour, oh Lord, where's the police? Pull him over. In the name of Jesus, pull that guy over. Doesn't work like that. I mean, sometimes you wish, and it happens to certain people, and I was like, oh man, you got to see that. Sometimes, yeah, selfish desires. If we're sincerely following God, seeking to do His will, then our request will be in line with what He wants. And He will grant them. You know, and if you have your Bible, you know, you turn it to Acts 19. It's not in your bulletin, but, you know, because using the name of Jesus can have some certain effects on you. If you don't have the right relationship with Him. Seriously. In Acts 19:14, and remember this, write this down in your book because you might want to review with it. Seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. They were casting out demons. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, they would say, well, let me go one verse earlier. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went tempted to name from place to place a evil spirit the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Okay, so they were like, I adjure you by whom Paul preaches, you know, get out of this person. So they were doing this. Okay? And so that seven sons of the priest were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus. And I know about Paul. But who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirits leaped on them, subdued all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So if you're going to use the name of Jesus to cast out, maybe you get stuff in your house, you know, like I knew one lady who her TV would go on for no reason. And then she would say, knock it off. And the TV went off. I was like, whoa. And so if you're going to be doing stuff like that, I suggest you, man, you have a relationship with God. Because it's like, yeah, I know Pastor Aaron. I know Pastor Dennis. Who are you? You know, if you're going to do this, just make sure you know God and God knows you. Simple as that. The name of Jesus can be powerful. But you gotta know Him. Understand Him. Serve Him, love Him, and all those things. The next one, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Have you ever worried if you're a Christian or not? A Christian is those who accept Jesus as the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And if you sincerely trusted Christ for your salvation and you acknowledge Him as Lord, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world, which is the devil. That Spirit lives in you. You can be assured that you have the Holy Spirit because Jesus promised it. The Holy Spirit enables us to conduct spiritual warfare by taking on the mind of Christ. Because without the Holy Spirit, we'd be ineffective in doing spiritual warfare. Acts 1:8 said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. There was the power that they're talking about here is boldness. to proclaim Jesus. You go to the hospital, somebody is dying, somebody is sick, somebody needs Jesus. And that power is being bold, saying, hey, do you want to accept Jesus? The power that we receive from the Holy Spirit includes courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. And we use all of these gifts to fulfill our mission Christ called us to. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have this power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Sometimes we'll get tired, but we won't burn out. We trust God instead of trying to control our own circumstances. We may experience distress, but we won't become desperate, and we'll have peace. We won't become overwhelmed with discouragement or by obstacles, knowing that that spirit within us will enable us to do exactly what God has called you and I to do. I think this is the last one, but probably there is a whole lot more, like faith and love and all this, but the blood of Jesus. There is some changes in your notes because I did add more things into it, but it's on the PowerPoint, but it might not be in your notes. But the blood of Jesus, powerful, powerful weapon that we use. His blood gives us power over the devil. It's the blood that Satan fears. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, the devil, because of the blood of the Lamb and because the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even when faced with death. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So in his blood, in the blood of Jesus, we have redemption. You know the story. Satan came to Eve in the form of the serpent, deceived her into disobeying God, from eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam followed right after him. And instead of obeying God, they disobeyed God. And when they did that, he inadvertently made Satan his Lord by bowing his knee to Satan. Adam turned over the authority that God has given him, and he made Satan the illegitimate ruler of earth. From that day on, everything that happened changed. With that one trespass, death was passed on to all men. The earth and everything was suddenly cursed, and man was separated from God. And the greatest thing the blood of Jesus accomplished was this. It washed our sins away, and it made us clean and pure as white as snow. In addition to being redeemed from sin, the blood also set us free from the curse of the law. The curse that is death, sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, depression, anything that bad that you can think of. Adam's sin gave Satan authority over his life, the life of man, and we inherited that. But the power of the blood of Jesus, the moment you made Jesus Christ your Lord of your life, you were redeemed from the curse, and Satan was put out of business. By the blood of Jesus, fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Remember back then in the temple, the veil, that only the priest could go in once a year. Remember when Jesus died, the veil was torn. You notice how it was torn from top, from God down, by his blood. We could have fellowship. When Adam fell in the garden, before that, they enjoyed fellowship, friendship with God. After his fall, sin separated us from this fellowship. And this fellowship could only be restored through the blood of Jesus. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you declare that you want to receive his fellowship, his friendship. The door is open for you because the power of the blood, you, me, we can come boldly into the presence of God without being another word for fellowship is communion. And one way we recognize that the blood provided for fellowship with God for us is when we take communion, which we will do next week. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. That's why communion is much deeper than an observance of remember why he hung on the cross, but what God did for us through the blood, because of that we are our friends. Okay? We get healing through the blood of Jesus. In Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're not talking jail stripes, okay? By his stripes, his back was torn open with whips. By his stripes, we are healed. When we take communion, do you think of healing? Most Christians take the element of the blood and say, thank you, we are delivered from sin. And that's true. Praise God that we are. But according to Isaiah 53:4-5, that Jesus' sacrifice covered every area of our existence. He bore our spiritual torment. He bore spiritual torment for our sins, distress, our worry, care, sorrow, fear. He took all of that, physical pain, sickness, disease, the stripes that he bore, the blood that he shed, were for our healing. By his strength. Do you hear people? I pray that God will my home, where I work, my car, my house, my family, everything through the blood of Jesus. Protection. Exodus 12:10. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, in Exodus, after 9 devastating plagues, Pharaoh still refused to let God's people go. So God sent that final judgment to smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt. So what did he do? He said, put that blood, right? God would not protect him without the blood. They had a covenant relationship. What they said, slaughter a lamb and put the blood on your doorpost and on your lintel. The blood of the lamb is inexhaustible, never ending. It is unlimited supply. When we apply the blood of Jesus to our doorposts of our lives in faith, we access the power to defeat every part of that curse. When we speak the name of Jesus in the face of sickness, disease, danger, the blood of the Lamb behind it, you're protected. The power of the blood of Jesus has provided everything we need to live a life of victory, including redemption, fellowship, healing, protection, authority over the devil. That's what the blood of Jesus does. We have these weapons that God has given us right here. It's found in his word. We need to look at them, understand them, figure out how we use them. And when the devil comes knocking at your door, hello, he'll be running, right? because we know these weapons, we know how to use them. And when we know that, he is not going to be happy. He'll come knocking more often. But you be prepared because you know. And there are so much more weapons in here. We just got to dig them up and find them. Amen? You may close your Bibles and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Hey, you know, we as our fifth Sunday, we do the missions offering. We support our Foursquare Missions Press. And I think by doing that, we support mostly all the missionaries who ever get any printed material. And even some of our churches, we get printed material from them, like the Yes booklet we have at the table. But if you can give, then give. Just put it in one of those envelopes. Mark missions. Or if you're writing a check, write missions on the bottom. Put it in an acrylic box. And we'll be sure to get that to our missions press. If you cannot give, don't worry about it. But I'd ask you this. Could you pray for our missionaries and for our missions press? Pray for them. Pray that wherever God calls them to send printed material, that it would reach the destination. Because a lot of times, the printed material sometimes gets confiscated. Sometimes we cannot get printed things in there. So, you know, it's hard to get them there. And I don't want to say online how we get them in there, but we do somehow. By the grace of God. So if you cannot give, no word, just pray. Amen? I'm going to close with prayer. And would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Maybe some of you need to make or ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So that these weapons will be accessible to you. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, even for those of you on Facebook, would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? Lord, thank you so much. And I pray that people out there listening who need to receive you would have done so. And if so, Lord, just tell them to get in touch with us so that we can help them with their walk. Thank you so much for the weapons that you give us so that we can do battle against the enemy. You do not leave us helpless, but you give us weapons, and you are there with us. So we thank you so much for these weapons. Help us to understand them, to use them in our battle against these evil forces. Help us to use them effectively until you return. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord praise. Alright, hey, we're gonna sing, so would you stand, join us?
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs without the lead, and God will open our hearts.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.